All right. Trevor, a little rapid fire action for you. Sean gave me some of these questions. I came up with some of my own. We're going to start off with a fill in the blank. Then I'm going to ask a couple questions that are going to be sort of, I want your answer. And then I'm going to give you three true or false questions. And you got to tell me why you're picking true or why you're picking false. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
So right. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
For this one?
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. So number one, fill in the blank. This past weekend's college football results were blank for Notre Dame.
Results as in like the games that
the results of what happened in the games played was blank. And you can take that wherever you want, was blank for Notre Dame.
Good for Notre Dame. If I look at it in, if I look at it 10,000 foot view, Louisville beating Clemson was massive. Some of the lesser Big 12 teams, like I think of Iowa State kind of getting exposed the way that they did, that also helps Notre Dame because that was a team that for whatever reason, the AP and coaches poll voters were high on. I don't think that the committee would have been, but I could see a situation where it's that argument of what do you take? An undefeated team with bad wins or a team with really good wins but one bad loss, what do you take there? So, no, I think it helped Notre Dame out. I do. What say you?
If K-State, worst case scenario for Notre Dame, if they were jockeying for that final spot, would have been BYU going 12-0, K-State running the table, beating an undefeated Iowa State team who was 11-0. Getting in and winning a rematch over BYU, and they're both in there 12-1. That would have been tough. Now K-State's out. The only way K-State can get in now is if they win the league. And I don't know that, you know, maybe BYU gets in, but Iowa State's done because if they lose to K-State, they've got a loss.
Yeah.
So I think that was good for Notre Dame. And I know Navy losing hurt Notre Dame's overall record, but Louisville beating Clemson, first time ever, by the way, that Louisville beat Clemson. Not at Clemson, ever beat Clemson. The first time they played was in 2014, never played before, which is wild that those two teams, they're not that far away, have never played each other. But that was a huge win to do it as convincingly as they did. Clemson has no chance of passing Notre Dame now unless they win the ACC. It's the only chance they have of being ahead of Notre Dame. So they're out, and that gives Notre Dame a better ranked win because if Louisville keeps winning and if they don't jump into the top 25 this weekend, Trevor, they will soon because they play at Stanford next weekend, or they get a bye this weekend, then they play at Stanford. Then they got Pitt at home and then at Kentucky. So there's plenty of chances for Louisville if they can keep winning to jump in the top 25. And I think when you look at how good of – they have good wins on their schedule, especially now they beat Clemson. And they lost to three teams that are going to be ranked in the top 15 by a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I think that helped them. I think Penn State losing did not help as much as Penn State winning would have helped. So that one wasn't great. Pitt losing kind of gets them out of the conversation a little bit. I mean, there were some negatives from it. There's always going to be good and bad. But I think the Louisville game happening was huge for Notre Dame. And I think the Big 12 basically eliminating itself was also big for Notre Dame, in my opinion, this weekend. And some of those SEC, the one that obviously A&M getting smacked by South Carolina, that hurt a little bit, no doubt. But A&M's still going to be ranked high. There's no question about that. I think those games, and then Army winning without their backup quarterback also helped. And then Illinois getting beat by Minnesota could indirectly help Notre Dame because now Penn State doesn't have a top 25 win to hang their hat on. Now, because there's no way a three-loss Illinois team, in my opinion, is going to be ranked in the top 25, in my view. So, overall, I think it was a good weekend for Notre Dame, not a great weekend for Notre Dame. So, we're on the same page.
In a year full of surprises, underdog wins, and the so-called experts getting it wrong, MyBookie is the one book that's got your back. No fluff, no second-guessing, just straight-up action with you in total control. Think you're going to roll the dice with the other guys? Well, good luck to you. At MyBookie, it's never been about guessing. It's about giving you the edge. So every bet you place comes with confidence and a plan. If you know football and love to win, MyBookie was made for you. If you're new to the game and not sure where to start, Irish Breakdown's got you covered. Step up, use our promo code IRISH, and that'll double your bankroll with a 100% deposit bonus right from the jump. That's more money and more power to make winning plays. If you've been betting with us already, we've got something to share with you too. With MyBookie Plus, the new loyalty rewards program, you can now earn extra cash just for doing what you do. More plays, more wins, more cash in your account, no strings attached. Here's a pro tip to get you rolling. The NFL teams with powerhouse offensive lines are dominating the run game this year, and betting game total unders has been printing money. Stack that with MyBookie's risk-free Thursdays, and you've got endless ways to bet and win all season long. So why wait? Bet anything, anytime, from anywhere with MyBookie, the sportsbook that gives you control and rewards you for every moment of play.
Fill in the blank. BYU passing Notre Dame in this week's AP poll the week after with both teams on a bye is blank.
Silly. I just don't – there was nothing that warranted it, in my opinion. I think just some voters might have had a change of heart because they weren't fresh off of watching Notre Dame beat a ranked opponent by 37. But I – look, I get it. BYU's undefeated and what they're doing in the Big 12 is really exciting. But if that was the case, just don't rank Notre Dame ahead of BYU at all. Like, why was Notre Dame ranked ahead of BYU the week prior? Right? So it's for all of those reasons why I'm happy that the AP poll and the coaches poll basically 24 hours from now is now null and void. Doesn't matter. So
I tend to agree, Trevor. Look, I understand the shallow reason why. When SMU beat Pitt and A&M lost to South Carolina, BYU now has a better win at the top than Notre Dame does rankings-wise. SMU is ranked higher than A&M. But my pushback would be is like, okay, well, what's their next best win? It'd be over K-State, right, who also just lost. You know what I mean? And it's just like, okay, just like you could have argued they had their top two wins were better than Notre Dame's top two wins last week. You know what I mean? I think it's just, yeah, I agree. And I get why Indiana went up because they beat a not very good Michigan State team, but they blasted them. So I'll give him that, but I agree. I think silly is a good one. Fill in the blank. It's blank that Alabama enters the month of November with two losses for the first time since 2007.
Honestly, well, I think it's – I'm going to say shocking. And the reason why I say shocking is because of the second team that they lost to. Like losing to – one of the two losses. Sorry.
Yeah.
I did not have them losing to Vanderbilt in any. Like, I love Clark Lee. I mean, he was a great coordinator at Notre Dame. I like what he's done at Vandy. You're Alabama. That's shocking to me. So yes, there was some turnover, especially with what they looked like at the start of the season too. I mean, yes, the Georgia game ended up closer than what it was, but I think that was more on Bama than it was on Georgia, right? Like, I think Alabama just, I mean, not even took the foot off the gas pedal, I think just put the car into neutral with the lead that they had going into halftime. Mm-hmm. But in the first half, they looked fantastic. They were destroying opponents. Jalen Milroe looked really good the first part of the season. And then I think that was shocking. It's weird, right? Like, I mean, Alabama is always that team that everybody, you just rely on them to be 11-1 or 12-0 and, you know, first or second in the country. So it's shocking to see them, you know, sitting outside of the top 10 with two losses going into the first playoff poll.
My answer would be good for Notre Dame that Alabama has. Because if Alabama is sitting here, if they would have come back and beat Vanderbilt and their only losses to Tennessee – and these circular thing of Georgia's got one loss to Alabama, Alabama has one loss to Tennessee, Tennessee has one loss to Arkansas. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, they're all going to be ranked ahead of Notre Dame. So it's good that at least one of them has kind of got knocked off. Now, it's not out of the realm of possibility that if Bama runs the table, they're going to go in. Because I actually believe Alabama and LSU are playing in a playoff elimination game this weekend.
Yeah.
I think the loser of that game's out, barring just chaos and a bunch of teams. Because I don't know that either – both have strong resumes, but I don't think either of them are going to have a good enough resume to get in over, let's say, a 12-1 Miami and a 12-1 SMU – you know, those type of games. It's like, could they get in over an 11-2, you know, let's say that, you know, a K-State gets into the Big 12 title game. Or let's say Iowa State runs a table, goes 11-1, loses to BYU. They're 11-2. Should 10-3 Bama or 9-3 Bama be in over 11-2 Iowa State? Heck yes. But that, I mean, should they be in over an 11-2 SMU? I don't think so, because SMU's got some really good wins. And would have equally as good a losses. So it's good for Notre Dame that they have two losses for the first time since 07. Fill in the blank. Notre Dame's toughest game and the final month of the season will be
USC.
Okay. You know, people are going to look at. Go ahead. Sorry, Trev. You paused.
No, you're good.
You were just like short and sweet, baby. Tell me why.
Look. Everybody's going to overshadow the fact that USC is now 4-5, and it's unimpressive, but this is the final game of the season. There's a lot that's going to go into this game. USC is much better on paper than what their resume indicates. I think that with it having rivalry implications, I think that's a big deal. And yes, I mean, we saw Penn State lose to Ohio State. I mean, mind you, it was still – well, what was the final score of that game? It was a one-possession game, wasn't it?
For which game?
Ohio State, Penn State?
It was 2013. Penn State literally had the ball fourth and goal, or first and goal at the 3-yard line with a chance to tie the game in the fourth quarter and ran three freaking straight plays up the middle.
Okay.
And got stuffed every time.
So
Penn State and had lost. A pass picked off in the end zone at the end of the first half.
Yep.
It was a sloppy game. Ohio State needs the one through the end. It's just sloppy.
It was. Now, USC also took Penn State down to the wire at home.
OT. Yeah.
And do I think Penn State is better than Notre Dame? No, I don't. But by the way that some people are talking about USC, you would think that it's, you know, I mean, Notre Dame's going to play Kent State at the end of the season, right? Like it's
– you kind of get it, right? They're 4-5. You kind of get it. But I'm like, A, they beat LSU. And B, every single one of their losses has been by a touchdown or less. You know what I mean, Trevor? And the thing with USC is their record at home, their results at home look way different than their results away from home.
Oh, yeah.
At home, they beat Utah State 48-0. They beat Wisconsin 38-21. They beat Rutgers 42-20, and they lost in overtime to Penn State. And again, they led 20-6 at one point in time. They're on the road, away from home. They beat LSU on a neutral field. They lost at Michigan, lost at Minnesota, lost at Maryland, lost at Washington. They are a very different team away from home than they are at home. Much more dangerous team. I agree with you. I think USC is absolutely the best. And they're going to be playing to ruin Notre Dame's season.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they have left to play for. Let's beat UCLA and ruin Notre Dame season. That's it. That's it. All right. So here we go, Trevor. Here's some ones that just going to – I'm going to give you – give me an – the next three are just kind of give me an answers and then three true false. Okay?
All right. You got it. We'll rattle them off. Let's do it.
Who is the most overrated team in college football right now?
Penn State.
Okay. Dig it. Who will be the MVP for Notre Dame in the final month of the season?
Riley Leonard.
You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it. Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Which team do you have more confidence in, SMU or Colorado?
SMU.
That was Sean Steyer's question. That's an easy one. All right, here's true false. I'm going to say true false. You tell me why it's true or why it's false. Okay. Riley Leonard will pass for 300 yards at least once in the final four games.
I'm false. Okay. Not for lack of ability. I just don't think he's going to be in. It's hard to pass for. I mean, it's hard to pass for 300 yards when you play for 2.5 quarters.
And you run the ball the way that they run the ball.
Right.
The only game that I could see that maybe happening would be Virginia, because their pass defense is awful. Mm-hmm. The rest of the teams on their schedule actually have pretty decent pass defenses outside of USC. But that game is to me going to be more about your ability to run the football. And, you know, but USC's defense, pass defense, has given up over 300 yards 4 times this year. But in two of those were games you won. One of those was a blowout win where the team had to throw a lot late. That was Rutgers. And then the other one was the Maryland game where they gave a bunch of passes. That's because you had a big lead and they had to throw the ball to come back. Same with Penn State. Penn State threw for a bunch of yards in that game because they were down 20-6 and had to throw the football to get back in that game. So it's going to be interesting. But I actually think he'll do it. I think he'll do it once. It'll either be Virginia or USC.
Riley Leonard. Believe me, I will be happy if he does. But it's interesting, right? Because if I look at Riley Leonard having 300 passing yards, it tells me one of two things. In one of those games, he went into halftime with like 200 passing yards. Because if Notre Dame plays Virginia and USC like the way that we think that it will happen, the games won't be close enough to where he's playing in the fourth quarter. So one of two things will be true. Notre Dame is smacking those teams, or he has to throw for 300 yards, which is also a scary thought. But I think it's going to be more of Riley Leonard just has a field day out there. Like big plays, you know, I think that's what it'll be.
I think the reason I go USC game, reason I go true, is because I do think the USC game is going to be competitive. I do think it's going to be a four-quarter game, and I do think the best way to beat USC is to throw the football. And that's the game that I predicted will happen. I could see him being on pace for a 300-yard game against Virginia, just like he was against Stanford.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't play in the fourth quarter, you know, and to your point. But I think the USC game, because I do think that'll be a little bit more competitive game. And I worry about the Notre Dame defense just being gassed by that point in time in the season. You know, so USC is able to get some scores and keep that a game. And I also worry that that's the one game that Lincoln Riley finally realizes, hey, we actually have a good run game. We should probably use it, you know, except when we're fourth and goal at 3. Like, let's not run the whole game against Washington, but when we get down to fourth and goal, we're going to run it up the middle and get stopped. God, Hey, I used to think he was an offensive genius, but the last couple of years, he has not impressed me with what he does in his play call.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks, because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week 1? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550 and a half yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999 and a half yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart.
I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more.
We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series.
So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
All right, here we go. True, false, Trevor. Notre Dame will hold its four remaining opponents to under 12 points per game.
False.
Okay. The last two games are the reason why?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you asked each of their opponents to under 12, not averaging under 12.
They will, the average will be under 12. So like across their final four opponents. Yeah. The average of their four opponents. So like, remember how we compared like what they gave up the first five? So it's more about the average. So when you take the four opponents and you average them together from the last four, it'll be sub 12.
I'm still going to say false. I think USC can still put up points. I really do. And Army's offense, especially if Bryson Daly is healthy, like that's still an explosive offense. And you could make the argument. Now, I know there's a lot of reasons as to why Navy had those turnovers, but Bryson Daly is not going to have four offensive turnovers. Like, he's not going to just be tossing pitches into the ground and dropping back to throw and straight up dropping the football. Now, if he does, that's great for Notre Dame. But I think after their Notre Dame's first two games against Florida State and Virginia, that number is going to be looking real sweet. And then I think the next two games will kind of round out the curve a little bit. I do. And another thing you have to factor in is like Notre Dame's second team, like when they get in, they do give up points, right? So like that's going to be that'll be another factor.
It's been, you went from 0-7, you know, 7-13, but it does kind of do that. So I agree. I think it'll be over 12. If you hold Virginia and USC, if you hold Virginia and Florida State to just a touchdown per game, Army and USC only have to average 17 points per game to get to 12. I mean, that's how impressive their first couple stretches were. The Army game will determine that, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
interesting one, Trevor. Good answer. We tend to agree. Last one, Trevor, with the college football playoff coming up, true, false, Notre Dame will host a college football playoff game in the 24 season. I know yes, actually 2024. Yep.
Yeah.
Notre Dame will host a playoff game. Okay.
Cool. True. I think Notre Dame's final rankings, it will be somewhere from 6-8. Something would have had to happen beneath them for them to not host. I firmly believe that, or like an undefeated team at the top loses one game, they finish the season with one loss, and then they just bump Notre Dame down. Like I find it hard to believe that Notre Dame is going to be somewhere 9-12 this season, especially if they win out in convincing fashion.
Good stuff, Trevor. Very well done. I enjoyed that rapid fire section. So, hey, everybody. That's going to do it for today's show. Couple things real quick. Tomorrow, don't go yet. Don't go yet. I know as soon as we wrap up, people bail. Don't go yet. First things first, Saturday, we are going to be out tailgating, Irish Breakdown tailgating, the Joy Slot. Trevor, you will be there, correct?
Sure,
we'll
will
be somewhere in the Joy Slot. The way we do it is I will tweet out once we find our spot because it's not assigned spots in the Joyce. I just know it will be Joyce. We'll tweet out the poll that we're in, so it'll help tell you where it is. And I'll try to give a little bit more descriptive detail this time than I have in the past. So we'll be there. I don't know when we'll get started. We'll probably get there no later than 2, but the goal is to get there sometime between 12 and 1 and get set up. I'll tweet out when we're on our way. If anybody shows up and wants to help us get set up, we would greatly appreciate that very much. I'll be there. My dad will be there. Trevor will be there. I believe Vince will be there. Obviously, Angela will be there. And
I
so
Ryan.
I think I'm not sure if is Ryan definitely coming in town for the game this weekend. I'm not sure.
I've seen a lot in like previous show chats that he's going to be at the Florida State game.
Yeah, and I don't have a flagpole, so I won't be able to raise the IB flag. So unless Trevor, you own a flagpole, you know, and you can bring a flagpole with you, go for it. But anyway, but I'll tweet out where we're going to be. So we are having an Irish Breakdown tailgate on Saturday. Tomorrow, Trevor and I'll be back at our normal time, 1 o'clock. Sean Stiers will be back for the 5 o'clock IB Nation Sports Talk. We'll go live around 6:45, 6:50 on CFB Nation. So subscribe to the CFB Nation channel, okay? And then I will be live going over. We'll do kind of a live reaction of the college football playoff rankings as they come out. It'll be more of a national view on just all of it in general. Once that show wraps up, about 10 minutes later on the Irish Breakdown channel, Trevor and I will then go live, and we'll kind of recap it all. We'll talk a little bit about the national stuff. I'll get Trevor's opinion on that, and then we'll talk about what it means for Notre Dame, where Notre Dame was, and we'll wrap up the Notre Dame aspect of it. So very busy night tomorrow night, and you know, Trevor, what I'll be doing on the side after that, so I'm going to be watching what's kind of coming on the TV with the other stuff going on tomorrow. So going to be a lot of fun. The ladies just finished their first game. They won 105-61. Liatu King had 24 points and 11 rebounds. Olivia Miles, heck of a game back. Triple-double for Olivia in her first game back. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Hannah Hidalgo had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 steals for Hannah. Cass Prosper with a nice bounce back game after she was out last year. She had 17 points and 5 rebounds, also had 2 blocks. Kate Koval, the 5-star freshman, quite the debut, Trevor. 18 points on 9 of 11 shooting, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 block shots. And then redshirt freshman sharpshooter Emma Risch also was back. She went 2 of 10 shooting, but she did knock down a triple, had 5 rebounds and 3 assists. So good to get her back, a former 5-star as well. So Sonya Citron did not play, but a convincing win for Notre Dame, 105-61. I'm sure Sean will talk about it a little bit tomorrow as well. So hit that like, folks. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Share this podcast. Give us a 5-star review. And, of course, as always, make sure you sign up for. We had some recruiting intel on the board last night. And we got the visitor list up there as well. Definitely want to make sure you check that out at boards.irishbreakdown.com. We'll talk to you all again here very, very soon on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.